Writing that down to back.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, news of the day. Your Astros lost last night again at Colorado. They're back at it today in a day game at 210 Central in Denver. They look to salvage a split in the two-game series, Jose Urquidy against Austin Gomber. Gomber with a 3.52 ERA is 0-2. Urquidy with a 4.50 is 0-1. So there's your matchup, and Miles Straw is not in the lineup today as Chaz McCormick is starting in center field and batting leadoff, followed by Michael Brantley, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker, Yuri Gurriel, Aledmys Diaz, Martin Maldonado, and of course the pitcher bats in the National League City, so Urquidy bats ninth. So there's your lineup for the Stros. Rockets tonight against the Jazz. We'll get to that at some point, I guess, as we can continue to kick around what is the suck tour.
It's pretty bad. And just a few NFL notes here. Tom Pelissero reporting on Twitter. Under the new law, players will be able to wear defensive backs 1 through 49, running backs, fullbacks, tight ends, halfbacks, and wide receivers 1 through 49 and 80 through 89, offensive linemen 50 through 79, defensive linemen 50 through 79 and 90 to 99, and then linebackers 1 through 59 and 90 to 99. And the other thing that Ian Rappaport just reported, Justin Fields has confirmed that he is managing epilepsy, but doctors and the staff do believe that he'll eventually outgrow it like his other family members have in the past, which begs the question, what will happen to Justin Fields in the draft now that this is, I guess they've known about this for a while, but I don't know if this impacts his status now that Ian Rappaport is reporting on this now. But it's going to be interesting to see. And the jersey numbers, I guess they had to do something at some point, right? You're going to run out of numbers eventually.
Well, but it's the only thing is it's like college football. So therefore now, you know, we see this all the time with college guys coming out. Well, what number is he going to wear? Because he played wide receiver mm-hmm. and wore a single digit, or he played this and wore that. But the thing is that in college football, you can have duplicates. So you can have a number one playing defensive line. You could have number one at quarterback or in the backfield or as a wide receiver. It's just on the fan to figure out and decipher which one's which, or if they have nameplates.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, it just dices things up because you don't have that ability to have repeats. But at the same time, guys can keep the numbers that they've always worn. And then as long as the officials keep track of, you know, offensive linemen that are eligible and all the different things where guys play multiple positions. And we've seen J.J. Watt play offense before, yeah. Things like that. But, yeah, I mean, look, that's to me.
But Justin Fields, huh? I mean, there were some crazy players that responded to it and said, look, I can manage it. It doesn't define who I am. I played football with epilepsy. If you can manage it, it's a possible deal. I've worked with employees, you know, of my father when we had a mechanic shop, and we actually had quite a number of them that would deal with that and have seizures. And at one point, and it's happened in front of me, and it's not a fun thing to deal with at all. It's actually a very scary situation, but it does make you wonder what teams will do with that knowledge. Hopefully Justin Fields can deal with that situation and move on. And it's a dangerous game to play when you have epilepsy issues, but more power to him. Power to him.
Yeah, for sure. Antonio Brown says he has settled mm-hmm. his case with his ex-trainer, which was one of the multiple cases, or at least the allegations that were brought up
Brittany
against
Taylor
him in the last couple of years. So I guess he's put that behind him. I don't know how that relates to, what was it, the artist that he decided to pose in front of with his junk touching her, or the doctor that he decided to break wind multiple times in front of mm-hmm. and all the other antics that he had a couple years ago. But I mean,
and she denied, or no, Antonio Brown denied a $2 million plus settlement that was offered to him in 2019. The settlement that they've agreed to now, they haven't revealed the details. So I don't know if it's in that same ballpark, but like I said, in the Charlie Polillo show, maybe he can move past this. He's a free agent. He got his Super Bowl ring with Tom Brady. Maybe he explores other options on other teams. You know, maybe he can just move on from that. The weird thing, though, I did mention, I was like, they put out a statement and they wished, like, they said that Britney wishes Antonio Brown all the best in his future and his career. And Dell was like saying maybe that's like the agreement and the settlement.
Oh, I don't.
I just don't understand why I'd want to wish him well after the settlement. You know what I mean? It just seems weird to me.
To me, I would say that there's a distinct possibility that that's part of it.
Sure.
Like, because, you know, it's in his best interest to get as much positive PR as he possibly can. Now, yeah, he's a Super Bowl champ, but, you know, people don't forget quickly about all the other indiscretions he's had. And if he wants to move on from that, he wants to find a new team from that, you know, then I think that that's part of the deal that would probably help propel him as opposed to any negative commentary coming off something like that.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And look, everybody wants to play with Tom Brady at this point, you know, leaving the Patriots.
Tampa's loaded, right? So, I mean,
how much room do they have?
Not much. Not much more. I mean, because they re-signed all their guys. They opened the checkbook to pay more than they probably had to for some of their guys. And then you've got veterans all over the place. Want Giovanni Bernard joining the backfield and all the different guys. I mean, I don't know if they re-signed Fournette yet, but he was the only guy out there from last year's team that they hadn't already gotten a deal with to bring back. So they've done what they've had to do to reload and get ready to go for another run at a Super Bowl. And so it remains to be seen whether Antonio Brown's a part of it or if he tries to get more money to recoup some of the dollars he's lost in the last couple of years and try and get some more cash in his back pocket before he calls it a career, because he's not nearly what he was when he started all the fiasco because of the fact that he was regarded as one of, if not the best wide receiver in the game, and he's had a massive falling off from that.
Yeah, and he needs a good quarterback, I think there's no question. I mean, look, sure. Big Ben, Tom Brady, it's not that he's a bad wide receiver, but he's going to need someone that can really throw to him. So he's a free agent now that he's moved past it. Maybe he looks back at the Deshaun Watson and says, man, that's something I learned from now. I mean, I'm not going to be an idiot. Or maybe he continues to be an idiot.
But he's
who
worked
knows?
Out with Russell Wilson in the past. So maybe Seattle, who is trying to keep Russell Wilson happy. And needs, you know, a couple more pieces. Maybe he's the other receiver to DK Metcalf this year. Maybe in Green Bay, where they got hammered for not going to get a second receiver, maybe, you know, the Packers say, hey, what if we brought you in Antonio Brown? He's a cold weather receiver. He played in Pittsburgh. He can play in Green Bay. Would you be happy with that? I don't know. I'm sure there are teams that will at least kick the tires and look at Antonio Brown. But the first thing that there is going to be, it's not about what he can do on the field. It's about what's between your ears and where's your attitude, because that's what's going to be the big. You can't have him second-guessing coaches.
But he's,
and what he did with Gruden, he recorded a conversation and put it out there.
No.
With Mayock, he went at him in public.
Can't do that.
Neither one of those things are going to be acceptable when you're a new franchise and wanting to know, hey, we'd love to have you, but we can't have that.
Yeah, and that's why, because of the number of mistakes that he's made and how they're kind of close to each other, I think he still has to be on those quick one-year deals because of what you just said. No one trusts him between his ears. No one knows what he's going to do next. I don't think he earns a multi-year contract unless they look back at the Tampa Bay Bucs situation and say, look, he kind of behaved. Maybe we give him more than 1 year. But if I'm the NFL team, I feel like I have the leverage in the negotiation when it comes down to Antonio Brown. Look, you still haven't shown consistently enough that you can behave right. Here's what we're prepared to do. We're prepared to give you a one-year deal at this price. Are you okay with it? And I'm sure he'll explore his options and see if he can get a little bit more. But if you really want to win, you know, I would imagine he wants to be back with Tampa Bay.
He's already won. I think at this point, and it's kind of like, Nick, when you get, I guess, the latest, and it didn't work out for him, but it kind of did, in Boogie Cousins. You, for whatever the reason, and Boogie Cousins didn't have the off-the-playing surface issues that Brown had.
Yeah.
But he went for the ring and then decided after that he would get to looking for his next long-term deal, and unfortunately he got hurt again. A lot of the veteran players late in their career, they go for the ring. Well, because of the fiasco that he went through with all the things that prevented him from getting the big money with the Raiders, staying with the Steelers, and all the other options, he got his ring. So I'm not sure how important winning is at this point as opposed to who's going to give me the best financial deal.
Probably.
But like you said, whether they win a championship or not, who's got at least a decent quarterback that's going to get me the ball so I can prove I still am capable of being a top five receiver in the league.
And there's some options there for him. And I think there's plenty of options and plenty of teams that could say, look, we have a good enough of a quarterback. We'll give you a one-year deal and see what you can do from there. I mean, look at the Patriots. We look at the Cam Newton situation. Signs another one-year deal. I was talking about in the last show that, you know, maybe we were too critical of Cam Newton, considering it was a new offense and a new playbook. But at the end of the day, you had an unbelievable quarterback in Tom Brady for all those years. It's not like Cam Newton is that young anymore. You should be considering for the next upcoming guy. Not a dumb decision to re-sign Cam Newton. And I'm sure there's going to be some quarterback competitions too, as with the Eagles will have too, because they wouldn't name Jalen Hurts the starter. There's definitely going to be a quarterback competition there. So there's some options for Antonio Brown. Hopefully he can move past it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, he has options. This is at least one thing on the radar of other teams that has been, you know, put in the past now. So we'll see how many teams are still out there thinking about the fact that they need Antonio Brown on their roster. So, good luck to him. But I just think he'll never recoup the millions and millions that he basically peed away while doing all of his different stuff in the last couple of years with the Steelers and the Raiders and the Patriots and
yeah,
all
he's
that.
gonna need to recoup some of that. He's gonna need to make some of that money back for sure.
No doubt. All right. Other than that, we are going to have coming up here on the show Vernon Maxwell talking about Michael Jordan in an absolute classic. And I'm also going to set it up by saying I've spoken to VMAX's peoples, and we're going to have him on the show real soon, and that's going to be outstanding. Assuming he knows he can't cuss, so many things to talk about with VMAX.
Also, there's details of the vicious jumping of Sterling Brown. It's been out at the strip club.
What strip club was that, Nick, again?
Was it the booby trap?
Was it the booby trap? I believe it was.
Apparently, it was a vicious jump.
A vicious jumping of the booby trap?
That's what your
so
boy Kelly Eco.
He walked into a booby trap situation.
Wow.
Huh? Huh? Well, baby. All right. Lots more to get to on the program. If you guys want to join us, hey, 713-780-3776. Call or text. You can also hit us up on Twitch or Twitter. And no, I'm not even going to credit who said it, but I don't think Deshaun Watson changed his number to 22. That's just.
That was.
Back with more Press Box ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
I got you covered, Nick. I know people. Just like you have me on certain things,
I pay for
you.
The Athletic, even though it's like $1
doesn't
a
matter.
Month now.
I get it. I can help you. So, how about that? People throwing it out there. Of course, Clarence. Nick, this is a stretch. Can you believe that Clarence has a suggestion on where Antonio Brown would fit? Could you possibly, in the realm of all things human, guess which team he thinks he might play well with?
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to say the Saints.
Oh, you nailed it.
I was right?
It.
No.
Yes.
I'm the smartest person alive.
What do you? Yeah, you have a drop for that normally.
Other
smartest people said alive. The Chargers.
I am the smartest man alive.
I could see that. Chargers would make sense and give a really, really solid, reliable veteran wide receiver to the young quarterback.
You think Antonio Brown really wants to go to the Saints playoff? I love you, Clarence.
Yeah,
I think he does.
He'd have some questions about Jameis, but I think he would want to go. Oh my God. Nick just put on the Astros game, walking in a winter wonderland, pitching Jose Urquidy. That ain't rain, bro.
What is that?
That's snow.
Oh, is it? Oh, it is.
There are massive flurries in Denver right now in the middle of the afternoon.
I don't know if I'm going sleeveless.
Well, last night, Garcia did.
I mean, he's a soldier.
He's tough. And then, which was really weird, and even the announcers noticed it, on the bench, no jacket. On the mound, no sleeves. But he gets on base and he puts the jacket on. Really? Because you're going to get the extra chill when you're on first?
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I didn't get that either at all. But yeah, it looks bad out there right now. Watch this be the game that they win now. Watch.
Well, just whatever the it takes so at this point, because at least you're close to 500. If you keep letting things slip away, this can get messy in a hurry.
Wouldn't that be funny, though, if this is the game they break their losing streak?
I would hope so. I hope so, too. Yeah. Dick on Twitch says Ravens. I think that's another good call. Would be a good call to help Lamar Jackson out. He said Chiefs as well. I don't think the Chiefs are going that route.
I don't think he's going to the Ravens because Lamar Jackson, they're being criticized for not diversifying their offense enough. The coach has been on record saying that they will. Antonio Brown is looking at that Lamar situation and saying, no way, in my opinion.
They have other needs than another receiver. Plus, he could screw their locker room up, so I don't think that's something that they're going to
explore.
Well,
that's a potential possibility anyway, right?
What's that?
Screw their locker room up?
Oh, absolutely, but that's why you don't take that chance. It's one thing if you take that chance because you're a veteran team on the cusp of competing
right.
at a higher
like Tampa,
level.
Yeah.
But if you're already an established Super Bowl contender, right. I don't need to be bringing in a guy that – the negatives could outweigh the positives if he goes haywire.
Would you take him at Green Bay? Someone's asking at Twitch.
I would consider it.
Yep. Of course you would.
I would consider it because, again, they're on the cusp. And they're not there yet, and they've proven that they can't get past the NFC Championship game. If he gives you someone that creates a good rapport with Rodgers right off the bat and Rodgers trusts, sure.
I think that would be an interesting relationship, a conversation between Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown.
I can tell you the one better than him that I want.
Who?
Is OBJ.
Yeah, that would be a good fit for the Packers if they can get him.
The Browns are thinking about moving him, and I think the Packers could do a whole lot worse than putting OBJ on the other side of Davante Adams. I think that would be fantastic.
He'd be in a better city. Not much better, but a better city.
Wait, time out. Green Bay is not better than any city in
Cleveland?
Cleveland's better than Green Bay.
Really?
Nick.
Wow, I was trying to give you
some. Milwaukee's a different story, but if you want to talk... Green Bay is about the size of Pearland, maybe.
What is there to do in Cleveland? No one wants to do anything in Cleveland.
Oh, no. It used to be the mistake by the lake, but now they've upgraded a whole bunch.
It's
Cleveland's actually
a poop fire.
A better than respectable city.
You think so?
Oh, believe me. They created this whole thing. So they upgraded.
Not if you ask Joakim Noah.
All the stadiums are updated. And then there's the hotel we stayed at was near the stadiums, and it had a three-block indoor, three- or four-level mall with a big, massive food court and all the different stores and everything like that and restaurants around it. So, I think that Cleveland actually has done a lot to improve its reputation. Green Bay, I ain't kidding, Nick. I mean, first of all, they think that every African-American person in the mall plays for the Packers, otherwise they wouldn't be there. And Ray Allen and others have told me such.
That is hilarious.
Second of all, aside from the Packers and the franchise, ain't a whole lot going on there.
Yeah.
There's a Dick's Sporting Goods as you come off the highway on Lombardi Avenue. Ain't a whole lot more going on.
Really? Yeah. That bad, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where do you go to party in Green Bay? Or you don't? You drive out somewhere else?
You drive somewhere else.
So is it Milwaukee or Madison? Where are you going to party?
Oh, Milwaukee's about, depending on traffic, a little less than 2 hours.
So where are the football players partying? In Milwaukee or Madison or both probably?
Football players will drive to Milwaukee for Bucks games during the week. And they will, yeah. No, unless you just want a tavern, yeah, or someplace to get bombed. Yeah, they're going other places.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Astros are already losing. As Urquidy has given up a run in the snow.
They're losing?
Yeah, I think they're going to update that scoreboard, but I think the run scored before the out was made. But it is snowing.
It looks terrible.
It's 2-0 Rockies. Yeah.
Yeah, it's updated.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
So that ain't good.
Nope.
They're not on the fast track to breaking the losing streak.
Nope.
Urquidy just gave up an extra base hit. But there's that. I do want to get to at some point, and we'll get to it. Let's get to the Rockets now. We'll get to Vernon Maxwell in the next segment. But Rockets tonight against the Jazz, and we were talking about ideal fits for the Rockets and who might be what they were looking if they get their own pick in the top four. And we did a Sports Map video today on this as well. But I'm curious what you guys think about who would be the right fit for the Rockets if they would secure one of the top. Let's say they secured the number one pick in the draft.
Okay.
And you had your choice. Who do you want? Do you want Cade Cunningham of Oklahoma State? Do you want Suggs from Gonzaga? Do you want Mobley from USC, or do you want one of the young kids that are playing in the G League or someone else? Let me know, because I'm looking at it, and you and I have kind of kicked around some of these scenarios before. Mm-hmm. I think for so many reasons, Suggs is the guy.
Yeah, me too.
I think that Cunningham, if you're just looking for what you have versus what you need, Cunningham, if you feel like John Wall's there for two more years as point guard, Christian Wood's going to be either your power forward or your center. I think ideally they'd like to bring Olynyk back if he's interested in coming back. And I think that you're going to want Kevin Porter Jr. to get minutes at the two. So Cunningham could play the small forward and be a good fit. But I think that in terms of being NBA ready, Cunningham, I have questions about his desire, about his kind of killer instinct when the game's on the line. Whereas a guy like Jalen Suggs, what I like about him is, he's got a he was recruited to play quarterback at Ohio State, so he's got the body already the pounding of the NBA. He's got all the skills of a point guard. I think his shooting could improve, but overall, what he brings to the table, and he could learn from a John Wall, and he could develop a relationship. So your backcourt of the future could be Suggs and Porter Jr. I think he's the guy I would go with in a heartbeat.
I will say this, though, about John Wall, and I'm not just trying to poop on him. I don't know if John Wall would be a good guy to play under if I'm Suggs.
It's also a valid point.
I'm sorry to say that, but I don't know if I'm Suggs. I want to learn for the next 2 years under a broken down John Wall, who we've mentioned time and time again, kind of wants to be the man, wants this to be his team. We've seen him pass up on passing the ball to Christian Wood on multiple plays. I'm not sure if John Wall is the right mentor, and maybe I'm not giving him enough credit, you know, but I don't.
No, you bring up a good point, and it's something that I kind of addressed too. Look, there's no way that you're going to move him unless, as we talked about the other day, in a buyout scenario, he has to be willing to give up quite a bit, and I don't think he's going to, because wherever he goes, he's not going to be able to recoup and get even a $10 million a year deal, I don't think. So he's got two left at 40 a year plus.
He has to take every single penny of it, because he's probably going to go back down to 2.4. He's probably going to be on the vet minimum.
If he just stays active after those 2 years, Nick, I think that after that you could hook up with being the last guy on a roster on a contending team and try and pick up a ring.
Yeah.
But you're never going to be able to pick up the dollars lost if you just want to get out of Houston. So I think that for that reason, he's not going to do a buyout with you. So I think that he has to either be willing to do what you've seen, what I've seen. He looks off Christian Wood when he's open.
He does it.
He doesn't give Porter Jr. the ball when he needs it.
But I agree. He doesn't do it all the time, but he does do it a lot. But I feel like the times that he doesn't do it, it's like, it's going to look really obvious if I don't pass him the ball right now. So I better pass him the ball. So look, and I can see how, from a mental standpoint, that really impacts John Wall. You're talking about a guy who was absolutely the man in Washington for all those years. And yeah, the injury has absolutely plagued him. But man, it's tough on a guy like that from a mental standpoint. I mean, just getting the money alone messes with your head and says, I'm worth this. I deserve this.
Name me all the winning seasons in John Wall's career. I'll wait. I mean, here's a guy that the one thing that he desperately needs for his career is a couple of winning seasons, and I don't see it on the horizon for the next three, this one and two more.
Believe me, Washington's happy to get out of that contract. Oh. Overpaid Russell Westbrook or overpaid John Wall?
Rockets would have been so much better just keeping Westbrook. And I know that the team plays better with Wall than Westbrook. Maybe. At least it looked like it early. But in terms of being a great teammate and being a great locker room guy and still putting up productive numbers, I think Westbrook would be better for this team where they're at as an organization.
Question. It's not even debatable.
All right, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half of the show, we'll start with Vernon Maxwell next, as he gets pretty up close and personal about Michael Jordan and the fact that he might have been a little dirty. That's going to be a good conversation to have with some great audio, so stay tuned for that and a whole lot more. Second half comes up next. It's Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, second half of the program. And as I told you guys, always a man of the people, I have been working diligently for quite a while now on getting Vernon Maxwell on the show. So he has responded, and we are in a situation now where in the next, I would say, hopefully, we'll just call it a week, I hope to have Vernon on the program. It would be a good chance to reminisce, blow up a few breaks to catch
up with
V-Mac.
I'd love it. It'd be fantastic. Would be fantastic to have
in the meantime. I stumbled upon this and Nick and I went over it, and it's going to sound like Morse code at certain points, but it's well worth it. Vernon Maxwell was a part of the podcast for the Ringer's Real Ones, featuring ex-player Rajah Bell and a guy by the name of Logan Murdoch. And they got into, amongst other things, the never-ending discussion of was the Rock, who's better, the Rockets and the Bulls, and who would have won. And then, of course, Vernon Maxwell, who was known, at least around these parts, as a Jordan stopper. So they kind of got into it with him. And boy, V didn't hold back. Thank God it was a podcast, as he talked about the kind of person you had to be to play against MJ.
Roger, no. You know, when you play against that motherfucker, you got to be a little different. You can't go in that motherfucking game like passive and like that motherfucker. He can sense a motherfucker you scared. He's a killer out there, man, and he's a dirty motherfucker. But I'm just saying, yeah, he was. I mean, you have to be, man, to be that great, man. I mean, yeah, night in, sure. Night out. You have to be a dog and have to have that grit, that dirty shit and all that. So, I mean, Roger know what I'm talking about.
And
that voice is fantastic. I love the way he talks.
I used to imitate it all
the time. I know. I know.
And until you hear it, you don't realize, like, that is exactly how he talks all the time. And he makes a great point because Rajah Bell, and Rajah goes on, it's a great interview. And you really should, I think I retweeted the link, but you really should listen to the interview because Rajah Bell said, I caught MJ on the tail end on the way out, yeah. So I didn't get his best. But Rajah Bell said, I caught Kobe in his prime. And if you remember, Kobe hated Rajah Bell. And got into it a couple of times.
He essentially called Kobe Michael Jordan's little brother.
Yeah.
So
that was great, too. But Max just kept going on. And it was like, you know, if he elbowed you in the nuts, you had to elbow him in the nuts. And talked about Michael. But that's the competitive fire of Michael Jordan. So it's a great interview. But that is who Vernon is and who Vernon always was. And it was crazy because he even goes on to talk about the fact, like, there were certain nights against certain teams. You could go out drinking the night before and know you were still going to be fine. He was like, no. You didn't go out the night before. You got your rest all day. It was eating at you all day. You were playing against MJ, and you wanted to bring your best. And that's the crazy thing about Max, was that we didn't care what he did the night before. We knew that once he got inside those lines, he was easily the fastest player on the court. He wasn't maybe weightlifting strong, but he was going to beat your ass. And
the dude was an absolute athletic
no
player.
Doubt.
Like there was no
shot he was afraid to take. There was no situation that he was afraid to get in the middle of. There was nobody he was going to back down to, and that's what made him so great for this Rockets team. Everybody knew their role, and Vernon played so many integral roles. They might have not have been Clyde or Dream or like all the time go-to guy, but we remember how many big shots he hit and Sam hit and Mario hit, and just go down the list and go, they maybe didn't have a full resume of night in, night out, but think about each guy that I named and you could say Mario, kiss of death, Vernon, the massive shot.
They all had a clutch moment.
Yeah.
At least one.
That's why they were Clutch City, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And Robert Horry, another one. Kenny Smith in the Orlando series. You keep going. But each one of those guys became the ultimate role player in the role they played, and Vernon was just awesome.
And that's exactly how I want Vernon Maxwell, to be very comfortable. You can tell he was able to say all those things because he was probably comfortable in that podcast. And obviously, being on a terrestrial radio platform, it kind of changes things. But boy, I would love to, like a stream or an audio, like an app or a digital interview with Vernon Maxwell, where he can just Let It Fly would be wonderful. Would be absolutely wonderful. We did one show like that years ago, but
and think about it, because we're gonna ask him about the Utah thing.
Oh yeah,
you know, and again,
I love the way he goes at Utah.
Oh, all the time.
That's fantastic.
He's a phenomenal follow on Twitter because of that kind of stuff. But then you think about from the standpoint of, and again, this is what I always chuckle about when I was talking about how Vernon went up in the stands in Portland. Vernon had gone up in the stands in Utah. We were there. We traveled with the team. I came out of the TV truck in Portland to back him up because the guy was talking about his stillborn child. And someone chimes into me and goes, yeah, no, that one was really about his wife having a miscarriage. Were you there, Chief? Did you know? And was that necessary? Because I was. And no, it wasn't. Utah's was. And there were many other incidents. But the thing was, again, just like each role player playing their role on those Clutch City teams, it was such a tight unit. And it wasn't just the team itself or the coaching staff. It was the trainers. It was the front office. It was the family atmosphere. It was all for one, one for all. And we had everyone's back. It didn't matter what Vernon got into. And look, there were discrepancies on the plane. We never talked about them. Guys might have gone at it on the plane.
That's what you should do. You should do like a stream of just you, Mario, Vernon, Robert Ori, all those guys, and do like a little 1 hour stream and just talk about old stories.
Man, there would be some that epic would be stories.
The roof would be on fire.
Remember, Vernon got into it with Carl Herrera in the weight room and
you
went
told me
after
about
with,
that story. I didn't know about that story until you told me.
Oh yeah.
But is Carl Herrera kind of like sneaky strong? Or is he not to be messed with or what?
No, I wouldn't put him in that category. Amigo's a great guy. And he was a very effective player, and he played at U of H.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't think – I never knew him as a weight room guy or just a naturally strong guy.
Okay.
Like Otis Thorpe, whether he lifted weights or not, Otis Thorpe was just ridiculously strong.
Yeah, I mean, his shoulders, it was pretty evident. He had massive hands.
Max was street strong. Max was one of those guys where it didn't matter whether he got in the weight room two or three times a week or not. You wanted him on your side, whether it be fighting or otherwise.
Oh, yeah. No, I could see that. I could see that. We've talked about the guys, the tough guys who you'd want on your side in a fight. And the Rockets have had a couple. I guess Trevor's one of them. We always talk about Zach Randolph. We've mentioned some names before.
Yep. Tony Allen, Zach Randolph. I've had people inform me that Lou Williams, that's still playing now with the Hawks, of the Wings at the strip club in Atlanta fame, is a guy not to be messed with because of his deep connections. Josh Smith, Jace Move to a certain degree. But Max was a guy. He didn't need help and backup. Max was a guy that just if he was on your squad, you'd go to bat for him and go to war with him every time. And if you were going against him, you better understand you were going to have your hands full because he didn't take any crap and he had no fear. But he definitely was a guy. I know he got the label as Jordan Stopper. But I know in 93, he held Jordan to 12 of 27 from the floor and frustrated the hell out of him. And there was a guy, for as much as Jordan talked, Vernon could talk more.
Yeah.
So that's what I loved about him.
Yeah.
And like I said, he was really loyal. And that voice was great, too, though.
Oh, yeah. That voice. I can't get over that voice.
Roger, no. You know, when you play against that motherfucker, you got to be a little different. You can't go in that motherfucker game like passive and like that motherfucker. He can sense a motherfucker you scared. He's a killer out there, man, and he's a dirty motherfucker. But I'm just saying, yeah, he was. I mean, you have to be, man, to be that great, man. I mean, yeah, night in, sure. Night out, you have to be a dog and have to have that grit, that dirty shit and all that. So, I mean, Roger know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I could listen to him talk for quite some time. But me, obviously, a Rockets fan, so growing up. So,
well, I've told y'all that the plane rides. We used to call first class the front where the coaches sat. We used to call the burbs where the broadcasters sat. And then we literally, I mean, even the players, we called the back of the plane because the back of the plane was the hood. Because the back of the plane was where everybody was playing dice and cards. But the stories that were going on between Vernon and Sam and Kenny. And then I remember we got Tracy Murray, and they used to pick on him because he had size 18 feet for a guy that was supposedly a guard. But Vernon was like, nothing was off limits. And in the middle, we would, it would be 3 a.m. on a back to back, and we would be trying not to let them see. We were crying, we were laughing so hard because the barbs going back and forth talking mess.
It'd just be hilarious. I would love to hear these conversations.
That's
Man,
what you're talking about
love.
For the podcast, because I've told you some of them off air, but like Vernon just would go at him. Damn, Sam. I mean, how many of these shots you gonna miss tonight? I mean, you'd have made at least 4 of those. We would have actually won by 30 and been already in Los Angeles instead of having to wait our ass on the tarmac. And
Roger, no.
And Sam would, come on, V. Stop picking on me, man. It ain't right. It was just, I mean, the back of the
hurry up and
hilarious.
Book them. Schedule them, Joel.
I'm working on it.
All right. A little update on the Astros. It's 3-2. Rockies up. Looks like Yuli did something to tie the game, and then Colorado was able to regain the lead.
Back-to-back extra.
And then also coming up in the next segment, I want to talk about your boy Brett Favre, because he might have been, now he might get himself in some controversy with words regarding George Floyd. At least the Raiders tweet was endorsed by the Floyd family. Now your boy Brett Favre has said something, and it's got people pretty upset. So
and
we'll
I
talk
want
about
the backstory
that.
On the booby trap, Nick.
Oh, yeah, I need to find that out.
Yeah,
I'm slacking.
I need some booby trap backstory.
I'm slacking. I'll
All
get
right.
it done.
3-2 Rockies, nobody out, and a runner on third base for Colorado in the second. So there's plenty of game to be played there and plenty of show to be played here. So hang with us. We got much more coming up. It's Nick and Joel in the press box at CSP.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Got a feeling it's a slugfest, Nicholas, and it's going to be in Colorado all day. And got to tell you, I have had personal experience. I think on the suspects, we talked about this one time. It's not going to be a pitcher's ball game when you realize that, especially with temperatures low and the snow flurries, your grip on the ball is off. Trying to throw any off-speed pitches,
it's just not there as much.
It's virtually impossible. And that's why in a lot of cases, that's why pitchers go to having some pine tar somewhere. And it's in the best interest, too, of the hitter because, yeah, they have more control to throw strikes, but it also keeps them from hitting you.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's already 4-2, man, but it might be a high-scoring game, like you mentioned, because of
it. It could be a slugfest.
You might be right.
Rockies are up 4-2. It's only the second inning. But I pitched a game at Lake Superior State up at the top of northern Wisconsin. First inning, I took the mound. It was 39 degrees. And a front came in off of Lake Superior. And at the start of the third inning, it was 27 degrees.
Oh, no.
There was no curveballs. There was no trying to snap things off that ended up looping into the strike zone. It was just try and get it over the plate. It is not fun.
That is not. And that's the last thing. And if you get it over the plate, obviously someone might catch it, right? So that's just, yeah. That's got to be a difficult situation for any pitcher. Who does well in these cold weather situations, Joel?
Hitters. Unless you get saw
No,
off.
I'm talking about which pitchers do well in these.
Power pitchers. Because, you know, if you throw an above average fastball, 95 to 100, first of all, a hitter doesn't want to get sawed off.
No.
Or catch it off the end of the bat.
No.
And therefore, it's harder to catch up with. You have flurries. Guys are stiff because it's cold. So you still have a distinct advantage. A guy like Zach Greinke would be in a lot of trouble on a day like today because he relies so much on deception of speed,
location,
off speed. Yeah, that would be tougher.
That would be tough. All right, I wanted to bring up this before we get to Chicago, Sean, because I see you want to talk to Joel, and we'll get to you here in a minute. But let's play this audio real quick. We talked about the Raiders situation. They tweeted out yesterday basically saying, I can breathe with yesterday's date. A lot of people thought that was controversial. George Floyd's family has since endorsed it. So it pretty much puts the Raiders off of the hook. But you got to be careful whether you're saying something you genuinely believe or not, especially if you're a celebrity or someone with name recognition, to kind of be careful about how you talk or any public statements that you make regarding the George Floyd situation, because it can certainly get you in some and get you into some controversy. But here's what Brett Favre had to say about the whole thing.
You know, I find it hard to believe, and I'm not defending Derek Chauvin in any way. I find it hard to believe, first of all, that he intentionally meant to kill George Floyd. That being said, his actions were uncalled for. I don't care what color the person is on the street. You do not. I mean, I don't know what led to that video that we saw where his knee is on his neck. But the man had thrown in the towel, and it was just uncalled for.
Thoughts, Joel?
Brett should just shut up. I mean, didn't he come out before the election and go like over the top pro Trump and catch a whole bunch of heat too? And then he stuck.
See,
himself.
I think that's different than this case. Again, it goes back to the whole point of the Raiders. You could say the Raiders is a bad timing tweet. But when the family endorses it, I think it changes things.
Yeah.
I think if Brett Favre had said this, he probably still would get some heat. But if he said it like a year after the fact or 8 months, it may not be as.
I just think he shouldn't be talking right now. You know, it's one thing if you want to ask him about the situation with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers because he has personal experience. But why are we asking Brett Favre, and why is he, even if especially worse if it's unsolicited, why is he talking about this?
Yeah, because these platforms want to ask them.
Now, if it was a podcast like anybody else, you're right. Then everyone's entitled to their opinion, and if they want to make it public, so be it. But if you make it public, also realize just as easy as it was to make, you're going to have to take whatever backlash you might be deserving.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen to him at this point. I don't know if it's a situation where this causes him to lose sponsors or whatever the case may be. I think
he's... Oh, God, if he loses Copper Fit, that could go crazy. Because gosh darn it, he needs that to stay flexible and flag football games with Jerry Rice. Because that game isn't stacked. I can't believe that without the Copper Fits, they wouldn't still succeed against Tony and the boys from the neighborhood playing a little flag football, if you know what I'm saying. But that's just me.
Well, you know, I'm with you. I think he should have shut up. I think that the timing was pretty stupid. But I expect a lot more celebrities to make comments. And then right after they're done talking, like, oh, that didn't come out right. Dang it. Now I'm in trouble. But he's not really been good about choosing his words anyway, right? He's not like a guy that does well when choosing words, right?
He doesn't have a filter a whole lot.
Yeah.
But he's also got enough skeletons in the closet that he probably, like I said, doesn't need to be drawing too much attention to himself. Because when people start digging and they remember Jen Sturger and his propensity for using his camera phone to...
Yep.
Do anatomy checks.
Yep.
And then there's the whole Vicodin episodes and the rehab stints and a whole lot more. He should, like I said, he'd be better. He's got enough money. He should just keep golfing and fishing and hunting and just hanging out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, I'll give you the Sterling Brown update in the next hour, but your fanboy, the biggest fan of Joel Blank is on the HRMP hotline right now.
I don't know if he's a fan of me, but we always have a problem when you have become a regular caller to the show, which we love, but then you take it to the next level and you nickname yourself. It's one thing if we nickname you. Obviously, Trey became Juggalo Trey because of AJ and his long-lasting affair with ESPN 97.5. Other listeners along the way have developed different nicknames. But when you give yourself your own nickname, you and I were talking about this on the way home the other day, it's a dangerous scenario.
So agreed.
So here's the thing.
Now, time out. Did anybody introduce you to the show yet? Has anybody said, welcome to the show, Sean, or Chicago Sean, as you call yourself? But no, now you're running the show to the point where we can't even introduce you, and you're already stepping in. Let's try this again. Hey, Nick, it looks as though Chicago Sean is on the phone. Sean, welcome to the program. What's going on?
Wow, what's going on, Joel? Thanks for that. Let's clear the air here, guys. I mean, I've been called Chicago Sean since I moved down here. So
by who?
Huge caller. And right, you're right. I am a huge Joel fan. Oh, by the way, Nick, happy belated 420. Super jealous that the Astros are in Colorado for 420. But, hey, Brett Favre, I think he's back on those Vikings. He needs to get that bottle out of his hand. But, hey, that's up to you guys. I feel like we had a little thing on here, especially me and Joel. So, you know, I figured I'd throw in the Chicago shot.
Where are you, Chicago Sean? Your reception is awful today.
It sounds like you're in Gurnee, Illinois.
I'm losing my voice. I came from the south side of Chicago, Chicago Heights, Illinois. Grew up there majority of my life.
Mm-hmm. And who Played calls baseball, who in
Waukesha,
Texas?
Waukesha.
Oh, Waukesha. Yeah. Who in Texas?
Waukesha.
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding. I'm from there. Who calls you Chicago Sean in Texas?
Everybody. That is my non-experience.
Who's everybody?
I am known. James Harden and all the boys.
Oh, you and Jimmy are tight? You and Slim Jim? You go to the club? Oh,
absolutely. We go back when the All-Star game was here, and me and Ricky Rose and all of us. Absolutely.
So
I'm
who would run?
I was just answering right now.
Who would win a race between you and Secretariat?
I'll tell you right now, Joel. I can guarantee you this. Anybody ever wants to challenge me in a three-point contest, they will lose. So we can set that up anytime. Because you're talking to one of the greatest shooters you'll ever see.
Okay. Now I'm officially done with your call, sir. So, I love you, Chicago Sean.
Do you, though?
But no, you're not. No.
So, first of all, you have to earn from the free throw line against Nick before you go any further.
That's number one.
Second of all, the correct answer to anybody running anything against Secretariat is Dicka. And if you don't say it, a winner in a race would be Dicka, then you're not a true Chicagoan. You know? And then, on top of that, you tell me all the people that are calling you Chicago Sean, but you can't tell me one by name except for James Harden, which we know he doesn't live here and play here anymore, and it ain't that guy. So I got some issues. So you should go home and fix yourself some Polska kielbasa and a few beers. And we'll talk to you next week, Chicago Sean.
Let's move on.
I can't believe that Chicago Sean, self-proclaimed, took up that much time in my day. All right, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. Lots of stuff to still get to. And, of course, that means you, unless your name is Chicago Sean. Bring it to us. Astros still in the middle of a snowstorm, battling the blizzard and the Rockies, down by two, but there's time. Rockets tonight against the Jazz. Lots of other news we've already covered, but we'll recap it at the top of the hour. And then we'll get to the final 60 minutes. It's Nick and Joel in the press box. Stay right where you are. ESPN.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.